I know it's a little bit ironic doing Rejoice Sunday in the midst of these finals, but let's look a little bit more of what does it mean to have joy. It's a huge part of the Christian life. You know, there's that meme that says, tell me blank without telling me blank. So tell me I'm a Christian without telling me I'm a Christian. And I think if there's a picture of somebody who is joyful, then we'd be able to say just by the way they're acting that we could tell there's something different about them. So this Christian joy is important, but where does it come from? First off, we know that actually joy is a fruit of charity, which is one of the theological virtues that we receive at our baptism, all right, choir. So besides charity, what are the other two theological virtues? Faith and hope. Awesome. Good job. They're listening. So faith and hope and charity, or sometimes we call charity love. So those are the three theological virtues that we receive at our baptism as we receive the divine life within us. So little Jean-Pierre, little Liam both have faith, hope, and love within their souls at this time, infused into them, so then now they can, as they grow, be able to love God and love others as the Lord commands us. Now, one of the beautiful things about joy, too, is a fruit of charity, is the more we exercise this virtue of charity, so the more that we help others, maybe helping somebody study, doing service projects, whatever it may be, then that's going to be increase in our lives. So we'll experience this effect of joy the more that we're exercising charity. So there's two things that we can do to pray for these virtues, whether it's the theological or in others in our lives, or we can make them increase in our lives. The first one is to pray for them. So God wants to increase these virtues in our lives. So if we pray for him, that can happen. And then as I just said, exercising, just like if you went to the rec and you were lifting weights this whole semester, your muscles are going to grow stronger, you're going to lift more. But if you stopped going, you're not going to be able to lift as much. So similarly, if you're using these virtues, the more evident and more visible they'll be in your life, versus if you're not using them, the less evident they'll be. All right, so this joy that we're talking about, is it the same thing as happiness? You know, we all want to be happy. Happiness is an emotion, especially if you get an A on an exam, you're going to be happy. You know, after this weird football season, us beating LSU, we were all happy, right? So you might be happy that you're about to be going home. But what happens when you don't get the good grade on the exam and there's sadness, or somebody in your family passes away whom you love and there's sadness, or maybe there's suffering in your life or anger? You know, that happiness is going to be fleeting. It's going to come and go in our lives depending on the situations that we're in and what we're experiencing. But the beautiful thing about joy is that it's constant, that it's always within us. We also receive joy at our confirmation. So just as the Holy Spirit went upon the apostles and Mary in the upper room at Pentecost, and we receive that same gifts of the Spirit during our confirmation, that's also a way that we receive this joy to live it out in our daily lives. So therefore, we can distinguish between joy and happiness. You know, joy is going to be permanent. Joy comes from the Lord. Joy is something that's going to be able to happen even in the midst of sorrow or grieving or even anger or suffering. And it's important to recognize joy is connected with hope. So in these moments of being in the valley and moments that seem like darkness or confusion, that we have this hope of the resurrection. We have the hope that our Savior is born as we celebrate in a couple weeks. You know, that this world is not it. So we can rejoice, that we can have hope, that we can have joy, that there is light in the midst of the darkness, that there will be something better to come, whether it's in this life or in the next. So my friends, I think that's important for us to recognize in our own lives when we're experiencing happiness, when we're experiencing sorrow, whatever emotion we may be experiencing that will be fleeting, that as Christians, we're still called to have this awesome joy that can anchor us in Christ and anchor us in our faith. All right, so let's move on to our gospel today. So if you've been following along, if you have your pew missal, your every sacred Sunday, if you brought your Bible with you, we're going to be in chapter 11, verse 2 to start off with. So we're back with John the Baptist again. He's one of the central characters of Advent. He's one of my favorite saints. So we're excited we had him last Sunday, and we're back with him again, which is a great gift. So first off, if we want to look at verse 2, we see that John heard in prison of the works of the Messiah, and he sent his disciples to him. Well, last Sunday, John was at the River Jordan baptizing, preparing the way of the Lord, and now he's in prison. So what happened in between? So if you remember, we learned that John the Baptist called out Herod, the leader of the day of that area, who took his brother's wife and basically married her. So John was calling out Herod, saying, this is against God's law, and he was publicly rebuking him. So Herod didn't like that, so that's why he threw John the Baptist in prison. Later we'll hear that he'll even behead him, right? So if we continue on, verse 3, so John sends his disciples, those who are following him, who eventually become Jesus' disciples, because John connects them to Jesus. So we hear, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? So we're looking at Jesus' identity. So you and I, we're able to, through the faith that's been passed on to us, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, he is the Savior. We even know even more details that he's fully God and fully man. But at this time, the first century Jews, including John the Baptist, they're trying to figure out, is he the one that the prophets have been talking about? Like, who is Jesus? Is he just another prophet? Or is he God? Is he the Savior that we've been longing for and waiting for? And so to this question, as we're looking at Jesus' identity, Jesus said to them in reply, go and tell John what you hear and see. And then he quotes, the blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to him. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. So what is Jesus quoting here? He's quoting Isaiah chapter 35, which Holy Mother Church gives us in her wisdom for our first reading today. So all these good Jews at this time would have known Isaiah chapter 35. So when Jesus starts quoting it, they are making this connection in their minds. And what is this connection? Well, if we look at Isaiah, we'll start at verse 4. Say to the fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. This is the key part. Then the eyes of the blind shall see, the ears of the deaf be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a stag, and the mute tongue sing for joy. So what Jesus is helping them to see is this prophecy that was made long ago is being fulfilled in their presence. That Jesus says, look at my actions. Look what I'm saying. I am curing the blind. I am curing the deaf. So he's helping them to see these prophecies being foretold are all pointing towards Jesus and helping us to see, as it's helping the Jews to see at that time, that this is truly Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. All right, so now we're going to switch from looking at Jesus' identity, and we end our gospel by looking at John the Baptist's identity. So as we hear, starting in verse 7, as they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. So once again, Jesus is quoting there about, behold, I'm sending my messenger. So what is he quoting? He's quoting Malachi. So we're looking at the prophecy from Malachi, which once again, all these first century Jews would know very well. So if we look at chapter 3, verse 1, we hear from Malachi, now I'm sending my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will come suddenly to his temple. So my friends, once again, the dots are being connected that John the Baptist, as we talked about last Sunday, he's the new Elijah. That Elijah would come again, as the Jews knew in prophecy, and he'd prepare the way for the Messiah. So what Jesus is doing, he's saying, John the Baptist is this new Elijah. He is the one who is preparing the way for me as your Lord and Savior. He's the one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. So not only is this an exciting time to see that John the Baptist is, as we just hear at the end of our gospel, that there's no greater man born than John the Baptist. Yes, he's awesome, but even more so, what is he doing? He's preparing the way for Jesus, and that all these prophecies from the Old Testament are being fulfilled before these first century Jews' eyes, which is mind-blowing for them and exciting for them because they know that the Savior, the Messiah, has now come. An interesting thing that we see at the end of our gospel today is we hear John the Baptist, there's none greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So if John the Baptist is the one that is the greatest man to ever live, Jesus, both God and man, so obviously he's greater, but then even the least in the kingdom of heaven, even the least in heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because by God's purifying grace, whenever we go to heaven and we're in the beatific vision, we'll be rejoicing to an exponential capacity that we can't even fathom here on earth. So Jesus is helping us to see how much greater is what is to come in heaven, and that he desires each one of us to be there just as St. John the Baptist is there now. And when we are there, we'll be in this eternal bliss forever, hopefully with all of our loved ones and everyone here in this church. The Lord desires for us to be with him for all of eternity. So as I end today, I really want to speak to our students who are about to be finishing up and going home. I know a lot of you are heading out Tuesday or Wednesday. So you're about to be home for 4 weeks, and that's a long time, especially as you're away from the promised land of here in Aggieland, right? And it's a lot easier to be able to live out your faith here at St. Mary's. Your friends are here, maybe always that cute girl, that cute guy that you catch here at the noon mass or something, and it helps motivate you to come to mass, you know? Maybe it's the choir, maybe it just really fits into your schedule really well. But when you go home, what's your family situation like? You know, what's your high school friend situation like? What is your parish like? It might be a little bit harder to live out your faith. So my encouragement to you is to make Sunday Mass a non-negotiable as you go home. Even if your family only goes to Mass on Christmas and at Easter, to say, hey, Mom and Dad, something that I do at A&M or at Blinn is I go to Mass every Sunday, so I just want to let you know right now at the beginning that's kind of the expectation for me, and you're welcome to come. So just to go every single Sunday, that should be a non-negotiable for you over this next month. If you're able to, it's awesome to be able to have a time of prayer too. I encourage you to do it before you leave your room in the morning because the day will get away from you, and especially if you have little siblings, it'll be hard. But take that 10, 15 minutes of prayer in the morning before you leave your room to start your day with the Lord, especially in these holy days of Advent and then into Christmas. Finally, if you're able to go to confession once or twice, that could be awesome too at your home parish, just to really be able to enter into this Christmas season with a heart that's definitely made pure for the Lord. All of us priests, Father Will, Father Andrew, myself, all of our staff, want to wish all of you students definitely blessings on your studies. We know you've been working hard and you're almost there, so keep it up. Also, safe travels on your way home, and it's crazy to say it because we still have 2 more weeks, but Merry Christmas because you won't be here during Christmas time. So we hope that you have a blessed time with your family and a blessed time with your friends and a blessed time with the Lord as we finish off this Advent season. And we'll see you in the new year of 2023.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.